the scripture and his sermon, A Childlike Faith, and we thank him for coming.
Good morning. It is humbling and an honor to be with you this morning. I don't know about you, but I have been worshiping pretty much virtually since sometime mid-March. And to be gathered here in a sanctuary with you and be able to preach the word, although we're doing it over Zoom also, I spend many a days in Zoom meetings. And I feel the connection, although there to others, this personal and interpersonal connection that we share when we're gathered as a community is so important. So let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, we just come before you this morning, both gathered here in this place we call a sanctuary and a place of meeting, and gathered online through the technology and the Zoom platform. We just thank you for all those that are gathered here, and we ask that during this time that you open our ears so that we may hear your voice and hear your word. That you may open our eyes so that we may see what it is you call us to. And that we may open our hearts so that we may know the true spirit of the way that you would like us to walk in this world. And I ask blessings upon my words, that these words be your words, that they be guided by you in the scriptures as I speak about the scriptures and about our agency's work at the Children's Aid Society. And we lift this all up in your son's Jesus' name and pray, amen. So this morning I'm here as the executive director of the Children's Aid Society. And as I enter into our fifth year together in this ministry, four and a half years ago, 2 months and so many days, I was hired by the board of the Children's Aid Society to serve as the executive director, but who's counting, right? And it has been such a wonderful walk, and I want to share a little bit about that with you today. And I want to share a little bit about how I see this ministry, and I really do, that we are a nonprofit organization, but I really see us as a ministry in partnership with all of you, and not only at this church, but of all churches in the Southern District of Pennsylvania, of the Church of the Brethren. So I want to start with Psalm 127, 3-5. And this is an Old Testament reading, and you can follow along with me, but I do want to read it to you. The children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring, a reward from him. And like arrows in the hands of a warrior, our children are born in one's youth. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. And I think that when we look at this Old Testament reading, and we look at this from the early times of the Hebrew Bible that it comes from, and the period of that those people were living in, children were not really highly valued in their society. Believe it or not, slaves were actually higher up in the hierarchy than children. And slaves, I'm sorry, women, our children were even below slaves. It was slaves, women, children. And I hate to say that, because right now in our world, so much is going on with this racial injustice and slavery in our country and how slavery has been. And you have to remember at this time, even in the scripture of the Psalms, we see where children who were very low in the hierarchy of the social structure were valued. And you may be wondering yourself, why was that? Well, many children were the laborers in the fields often. And some of you living out here more in an agricultural society know that children were part of the farming community. And they'd come home from their schooling, or maybe didn't even go to school, and they worked on the farm. So that was where some of their value was placed, was in their ability to work with and for their families. It's very interesting to me, especially the part of talking about being born in one's youth. You know, I often think about, I have two children. One is 27 and one is 23. And I think about, you know, when my children were born. I'll tell you, I'm turning 55 this year, so I start getting all the early bird discounts and the senior citizens discounts, and it's hard to believe. But the reality of that has set in. Yesterday, my 23-year-old son and his girlfriend came to me, and they informed us that third pregnant. And at first I wasn't sure how I felt about that. But then being reviewing this sermon last night to look at it again today, I came across a scripture and I looked at that part as saying, the children are a heritage from the Lord. And this child, although the timing for me may not be right, obviously the timing is right for the Lord. And it's his reward that he brings to us. If we could go to the next slide. I just want to share with you that the Children's Aid Society, as you may know, has been around for over 107 years. And that's a long time to be around. We were started back in 1913, and you may or may not know this story. There was a group of people that got together, Melvin Jacobs, Sudi Wingert, which I think is such a cool name, Sudi Wingert. Nobody names their kids Sudi anymore, do they? And Mrs. Frances Leiter. And they were at a district conference, probably not like the one we're going to have in a couple months over Zoom, but they were at a district conference gathered together. And they were charged with taking care of orphaned, neglected, and indigent children. And Frances Leiter and Sudi May and Melvin all got together and said, we need to do something about this. 107 years ago, they decided they needed to do something about this. And probably Frances Leiter was the one that our center in Chambersburg is named after, was probably the most active about that. She actually started taking children into her own home. And then she began placing them within families within her church over in Greencastle. Basically, she was the early foster care system before we had a foster care system. And probably, if from what I read about Frances Leiter, she was kind of a little bit of a in-the-box kind of woman and was very much a rule follower. And she would check in with those families each week. And I bet probably did even a greater job than our system can do now, because Frances Leiter knew the families she placed people with. And when children weren't being brought to church, Frances Leiter would ask the people she placed those children with where the child was. She was holding those people accountable for what she was doing. And it's absolutely amazing. When you go back and I read the documents of our history, it's amazing the language and how these people spoke. And they spoke about things like, it was my pleasure to have gathered with you on the henceforth day of the third Sunday. None of us talk like that anymore, do we? We don't talk at all like that. We just kind of let it flow. And it was such a flow and so systemic and very much planful the way it was. Well, I want to tell you a little story about two little boys. And these two little boys were kind of a bit of a troublemaker in their town. Maybe you know some boys like this. And I tell you this because I have two boys, as I shared, who are 27 and 23. But these two brothers, when they were 8 and 10 years old, they were very mischievous as boys could be. They got into a little bit of trouble. And whatever went wrong in their neighborhood, it always seemed and turned out that they somehow had a hand in it. And their parents, they were at their wits' end trying to control them. And hearing about a pastor nearby who worked with boys who were getting in trouble, the mother suggested to the father that they ask the pastor to talk to the boys. And the father replied, sure, you better do that before they get into some really difficult trouble. And I don't know about you, but I found in my ministry as a youth pastor that whenever kids were in trouble, parents always figured, take them to the pastor. The pastor will figure it out and fix it. So here's this situation that the mother went to the pastor and she made her request. And he agreed, but he said he wanted to see the younger boy first and alone. So the mother sent the younger boy to the pastor. And the pastor sat down with the boy across a very huge, impressive desk. And for about 5 minutes, they just sat there and they stared at each other. And finally, the pastor pointed his finger at the boy and asked, where is God? The boy looked under the desk and to the corners of the room and all around, but he said nothing. And again, louder, the pastor said and pointed at the boy in a firmer voice, as he leaned across the desk with his forefinger almost in the boy's nose and said, "Where is God?" The boy panicked, and he ran out of the office and ran all the way home. And when he found his older brother, he dragged him upstairs to the room in the closet where they usually gathered to plan their mischievous events. And he finally said to his brother, he said, "Man, we are in big trouble." And the older boy asked, "What do you mean, big trouble?" And the little boy replied, "God is missing, and they think we had something to do with it." I ask you all today, are there times when you feel God is missing? Since March 14th, we have changed the way we respond in this world. We changed the way we do business. We, the Children's Aid Society, have changed the way we do business. We have changed how we allow children to approach us. We have changed the way of how we approach children. And what I want to do today is take us back to the scriptures where Jesus tells us, as his disciples, as he did in Mark and Luke and Matthew, of how we are to approach the children of God. So we could look at the scripture of Mark 10, 13 to 16. And this is the little children in Jesus. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hand on them. But the disciples rebuked them. And when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on them and blessed them. I highlighted a couple things in this text that I want to bring us to. In the second line, you see the word rebuked, and I bolded that. And if you look at the word rebuked in the dictionary, it says a stern scolding or redirection. And if you read this, the disciples rebuked the people. They were scolding them. They were kind of telling them, this is not the thing you do. And remember, we're in early times where children were here. So the disciples thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they were doing what they were supposed to do. They thought they were doing what the law said. And here again, we see Jesus setting a different kind of example for us, doesn't he? He says, no. And he says it indignantly. I mean, he doesn't say it calmly. He doesn't say it, you know, with love and compassion, although I'm sure he did that because he was a loving and compassionate person. But he says it indignantly, like, what are you doing? What are you doing here? He calls him out and says, you know, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom belongs to such as these." And I'm sure you understand the metaphor in this. Jesus wasn't saying that children were going to inherit the kingdom, but people with that childlike faith, people with that childlike openness to hear his story, to understand, to love compassionately, is the ones that will inherit his kingdom. And he says that anyone who doesn't receive a child will never enter it. And then this is the coolest part that I think, as the Children's Aid Society, I try to embrace as your executive director, and I try to have our team embrace all the time, that we take the children and we take them in our arms and we place our hands on them, we bless them. In this world today, we are so afraid even more to come in contact with each other, to come in contact with the social distancing. Have any of you known the word social distancing prior to 4 or 5 months ago? It's kind of funny because it wasn't on our radar screen, and now we let it roll off our tongues, social distancing, masking. I have to tell you, this is the hardest thing to do, is to preach to a group of people who I can't see your reactions because your faces are covered. It's so hard. So we need to take each other in the best way we can. We need to greet each other. We need to say peace. We need to light up with our eyes. We need to learn different ways of embracing and coming together. Our vision at the Children's Aid Society, if you don't know, is that we want all children to be safe and feel loved. And there's so many ways we do that, and I'll talk a little bit about that. And our mission is helping children and their families to build stronger, healthier lives through compassionate and professional services. I want to call you to another piece of scripture this morning as I weave this hopefully all together for you, and it has some understanding. But then again, earlier in Mark, before this whole situation occurred, where the disciples were rebuking the parents and the families for bringing the children, Jesus says, no, you got to let us do that. He took a little child, one child, and placed them among them. This is a scripture known as the child in our midst. You may have heard it referred to as that. And there's actually a history of the Children's Aid Society was written by, it just escaped me. It'll come back to me. And she wrote it as, or it was a professor who wrote it that said, and he called it a child in our midst. And what Jesus did in this scripture, he took the child in his arm and he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. Now, I want you to understand, this is 9:36-37. The previous verse that we talked about was 10:13-16. So Jesus, a whole chapter before, and only about 10 verses before, sets an example for the disciples of how they should treat children. He takes them in, and he welcomes them. And he welcomes them in his name. And by welcoming them in his name, you welcome them in the Father's name. And then less than is typical in Mark. Mark was very, I don't know if you know a lot about Mark, but Mark was very critical of the disciples. He wrote very critically of the disciples and doesn't give them a break often. And so then, again, it's not surprising that one chapter later, Mark is pointing out how the disciples didn't do what Jesus just showed them. Now, I don't know about you, but I think this is a great message in today's world today. There's a lot of people out there that are being shown the way to do things, right? I don't know about you, but when I go out in the world, I don't know how many people wear their mask, and if anybody has their mask below their nose, I'm sorry, wear them below their nose or like chin straps. Well, we have 2 to 6-year-olds in our nursery, and we're supposed to make anybody over the age of 2 have a mask on. They wear them on their ears, they have them over their heads, they have them over their eyes, you know, because they're children. So how do we take those children? And I just want to say to you, that's the childlike faith that I'm talking about, that sometimes children just approach it from such a fun position. But Jesus, in this chapter, in this verse, tells us that if we take children in, like Francis Slider did, we are taking him and the one who sent him. Can we go to the next slide? I keep forgetting, I'm not controlling the slides, he is, so I have to tell him. So demonstrate compassion. What we really want you to do, we try to do at the Children's Aid Society, our values are to understand of ourselves and give of ourselves. We try to cultivate gifts and nurture opportunities and grow experiences. We try to encourage creativity and seek new ways and embrace differences. We're art therapists. A lot of our therapists are art therapists, so encouraging creativity. Playing joyfully. Some of our board members struggled when we were setting up our values 4 years ago during our strategic process, and I suggested that we add this value of playing joyfully. And they said, really, you want us to tell the staff to play joyfully, to play at work? I said, we're play therapists. Yeah, we play with kids. We play at work. And just to laugh daily and to find joy in what we do. Try to work together, achieve more as a team, and then finally act professionally, own the situation, and plan ahead for tomorrow. I want to tell you a little bit about our centers.